Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, here from Madison Square Garden. This is Bill Tully, along with George Foreman, and tonight, a big heavyweight match, a big, big fight between an up-and-coming young heavyweight, a young man who has got the whole world looking at just the way he's fighting. I think he's just amazing, young Bill Brewer. He weighs 260 pounds. He has an amazing reach, and George Foreman, I don't think anybody can beat this kid.
Well, I don't think anybody can beat him either, and that's why I'm kind of amazed tonight, you know, to see the fact that we got lined up for you tonight. I just think it's really wild, you know. I'm so happy to be here. The fact that this young lady is going to get in the ring with him. Of course, I am talking about Paris Hilton, and I just don't know, but I fear for her. I fear very much for her.
Why would Paris Hilton want to get in the ring here with Billy Brewer? Who is moving into the higher echelons? What is she going to do? What is she going to prove?
Well, I think she's trying. You know, she does everything, man. She's written a book. She's got the simple life. She got a cologne and all that. I just don't know, you know.
All right, so tonight you're going to be seeing and hearing our Word's Eye View here from Madison Square Garden of the young lady by the name of Paris Hilton going against Billy Brewer, heavyweight champion in at least two divisions, and certainly going to try to wrap up the IBC. And let's go down to the center ring and hear referee Johnny Cunningham's instructions to the fighters.
All right, now you guys know what's going on here, Arizona?
Yeah, I know.
All right, everything good?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, there you are. There you are. They've not much said between the fighters, and let's get going. Here we go. There's the ring. They're into the center of the ring there as now kind of circling the ring as Paris Hilton puts a right hand there, a right hand against Billy Brewer, staggers him. Brewer staggered by Paris Hilton and holding over the ropes, and now there's a standing eight count.
Well, I tell you, that blows my mind. How can that skinny little girl do that?
I don't know. But she just stood him up with a right hand to the chin, just about put him on the canvas there, and now there's a standing eight count. And they bring the fighters back into the center of the ring.
Now you can see they're kind of dancing there. One thing about Paris Hilton, got good footwork. She's very skinny, though.
She only weighs about 110 pounds.
Billy Brewer, 260 pounds. The guy's got a reach like an orangutan, you know. I mean, I don't want to say that, one brother to another. But, you know, I think sometimes a monkey analogy is cool, and it don't have nothing to do with race.
I certainly understand that. I don't want to go near that, though.
Well, why not? Let's talk about it.
And come on, champ. And there's Paris Hilton now, and they're kind of tugging at each other. And there's a left there by Brewer, and that's the end of the first round. So Paris Hilton staggers Billy Brewer here in the early going. Brewer, like I say, moved from the cruiserweight up to the heavyweight ranks here with fair rapidity. I think he's got some very, very obvious good tactical skills. But how it is this young girl of 110 pounds and 5'5" was able to stand him up with that right hand?
Well, I think she just did it with... you know, she just got inside. You know, you can't let her get inside. He got good reach. Like I said, he got the arm like, you know, a big, long orangutan arm, man. But you can't let her get inside.
And now we go to the second round here. Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton, she of a simple life. She of television fame and perfume fame against Billy Brewer. Up-and-coming heavyweight. Ranked fifth in the world right now. The WBA and the WBC. He has the IBC crown. And there is Brewer. Now he hits her with a right hand. And there is now Paris Hilton is in trouble. They're up against the ropes. Brewer hits her with a right. Brewer hits her with a left. A right. And Hilton dances off of the ropes and gets away from him. Well, that was some kind of move there as Billy Brewer almost had her down. She dances away. Now he's got her up in the ropes again. There's another right hand. And there's a left hand to the... Oh, boy. He just doubled her up there. And that's the end of the second round.
Well, I tell you, Saved by the Bell has never been more appropriate than Paris Hilton.
And the crowd gives Billy Brewer a big hand as he comes back to his corner. He had Hilton up against the ropes and just about had her out, and she was able to kind of dance away from him. And
we're right there. See, what you got to do with Paris Hilton is you got to cut the ring in half, okay? Don't let her get moving around. Cut the ring in half. Keep Paris Hilton, you know, where she can't hurt you. Because I've seen her brutalize some fighters. I saw her in Las Vegas, you know, against Joe Doakes.
Oh, that was horrific.
He's still in a coma. And then I saw her at Olympic Stadium down there in L.A. She fought Tony Gonzalez. And I swear I saw the brains coming out of his ears on that one.
Well, she's a very, very dangerous fighter. And here's the beginning of the third round as they go to the middle of the ring there. Billy Brewer had been told by his corner now, you can't get too close to her, but if you can cut the ring in half. And now Brewer hits her with a left. Billy Brewer's got Paris Hilton in trouble again. Brewer with a left, a right, a left, a right, a right, a left, a right, strike. Touchdown. All right, and now Paris Hilton is down on the canvas with a big left hand from Billy Brewer. And she's getting up, though.
Well, she's got more guts. I can't believe she's getting up from that.
And she's moving over now to a neutral corner. And the fight...
Okay, now the fight is stopped.
The fight is stopped here at 2.5 minutes of the fourth round. And I'm sure it'll be a technical knockout. Let's hear Johnny Cunningham right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this fight... It's called in 2 minutes of the fourth round by a technical knockout and still the IBC champion, Billy Brewer.
And Paris Hilton is angry because she didn't think the fight should be stopped.
Well, there's a big... Billy Brewer's right eye is closed. It's just completely shut. And he's spitting blood, so...
Well, she really took the measure of Billy Brewer, Paris Hilton. There's no doubt about it. And George Foreman is now working his way down to the edge of the apron of the ring to talk to Billy Brewer, the champion. And then, of course, we'll hear from Paris Hilton. But I can tell you that we certainly didn't expect this fight to go four rounds. Let's go down to George Foreman now, where he has Billy Brewer. George?
Billy, I wanted to say, I thought maybe you should have tagged her early. Everybody thought maybe you had Paris Hilton. She's only weigh about 110 pounds soaking wet. 5'5", you know. What do you think?
Well, I think that she did a good fight, you know. I think that everything is just, you never know in this game. You never know. But I want to thank Allah, and all praise to Allah, and to Mosque Number 3 in downtown Cleveland, which is where I go and worship and whatnot, you know. And all the brothers, of course, and everyone eating soul food out there, the fried chicken, the peach cobbler, you know.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Billy. Let's go over to Paris Hilton now. Paris, a very gutsy fight. What do you, if anything, did you think, I mean, you stayed in the ring with it pretty good. I mean, you on TV, you doing all that. You acting like, you know, a little skinny girl. You stimming in four rounds. That's pretty good, huh?
No, first of all, I want to say that I don't speak English too good, you know.
No, I know that, Paris.
I don't think they should have stopped the fight at all, because you seen what I was doing to him.
Yeah, but he had you.
Oh, he had me, but he knew that I was going to put the hurt on him. And that referee, Mr. Cunningham, I will go to the IBC, and I will tell them that that's bull crap what he done to me, because he ripped my heart out tonight, stopped this fight.
Yeah, but you were getting hurt there.
How the hell I'm getting hurt? I'm hurting him. You know, I'm hurting him.
All right, Paris. Well, we'll look for you on A Simple Life with that other chick, okay?
Yeah.
All right, that's Paris Hilton. Not bad up with you, Bill.
All right, well, Paris Hilton, upset with the refereeing tonight here by Jimmy Cunningham, stopping the fight in the fourth round on a technical knockout. But it looked to us as if she was in very serious trouble, even though in the first round she tagged Billy pretty good and stood him up. And so for George Foreman here from Madison Square Garden in this heavyweight bout, stopped in the fourth round in a technical knockout, Billy Brewer still retains his IBC crown, and Paris Hilton will just have to go back to the training grounds there, do her TV show, sell some more perfume, and put the gloves back on, I guess, huh, George?
Yeah, you have to get his sparring partner in that. You know, I think she's going to have to put some weight on. I don't think there's any way she can get 100, you know, she just forget it.
For George Foreman, this is Bill Telly from Madison Square Garden bidding you good night for Tuesday Night Fights, where Billy Brewer retains his IBC crown. Brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Speaking of boxing, I was just telling Harry, the IBC, the IBF, the WBA, the FDS, and you know what, and I don't even know, not that it's any different than any other sport, but it's, I think one of the reasons why boxing is difficult for people to follow is because it's difficult for people to follow. Savvy? You know, I mean, oh, hey, whoopee, John Ruiz, man, he's the heavyweight champion there of the, who is Ruiz the heavyweight champion? Like the WBA or the IBF? Chris Boyd's the IBF. Ruiz is the WBA champ. Klitschko is the WBC champ. You know, talk about wanting a playoff, man. Everybody bellyaching about college football needing a playoff. So I went on Heavyweight News and I was looking at this. They had a whole article on Jimmy Ellis. I don't know, how many people out there are you into boxing? Anybody out there into boxing? Boxing is a great sport. It's not always run by the nicest people. It's utterly controlled by, you know, as it always has been. It's just been controlled at the whim of a few very powerful promoters. But every now and again, you get to see a great fighter come up and do some damage. Lennox Lewis, a great fighter to watch. It was a great fighter to watch at one time. And kind of interesting to listen to. And they had a whole article here on Jimmy Ellis. Then, of course, my mind started drifting back to Muhammad Ali. And the movie was on the other day on cable. My kids are sitting there. I said, there he is. That's, you know, Will Smith's playing the part. I said, that's the greatest fighter that ever. Well, what made him so good? I said, there wasn't anybody like Ali from a couple of standpoints. A, he was an interesting, outspoken man. B, he wasn't a bad-looking guy. C, really intelligent. D, he was a superstar. He drew attention to himself like no other athlete. He was not one of those self-effacing types. He didn't kind of kick his Buster Browns in the dust. He said exactly what was on his mind. And he also backed it up in the ring, which was amazing. He beat everybody they threw at him. And keep this in mind, and you younger people don't know this, but while Muhammad Ali was around, he was hated. 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 People liked him, yeah. A lot of people hated his guts. And you know the guys that hated him the most, other than Howard Cosell? The sports reporters. Sports guys hated Muhammad Ali. Howard Cosell liked him. He liked him. He recognized the genius. But every other guy that was in sports hated his guts. You want to know? He was an uppity black guy. He told white people to back off. He said, I ain't going to Vietnam. You can take somebody else. I'm not going. He did all those things. And, of course, the big complaint is that he never fought anybody. Who did he fight? And Rocky Marciano. Oh, get out of here. All the old timers. Rocky Marciano would have lifted him off the canvas. And of course, people would say things like, he never fought anybody. He fought everybody that they threw at him. He fought everybody. He fought everybody that he had to. He went to Europe to fight some of those tomato cans over there. He went over there and fought some Belgian clown. He went over and fought all these limeys that they threw at him. He fought everybody. And he beat them all. And now, he's shuffling around like an old man in a... What happened to him anyway? I just...
You're hitting the head too much.
Yeah, you got hit in the freaking head. Well, never mind. Muhammad Ali. So, you know, if you see that flick come on the tube, you know, that, you're right, Harry. He was bigger than Michael. You know how big Michael Jordan is? He was bigger. Everywhere he went, people knew who he was. And I saw that fight. If you see the movie, what they called the Rumble in the Jungle, when he went down to Zaire and fought George Foreman, and I watched that on TV, anybody who saw it was shocked. I mean, you knew that Ali was huge in America, but the mob scene around that guy down in Zaire, and I'll never get all those little white helmeted cops down there, those Zaire cops, as they were so-called, you know, trying to protect him. They couldn't protect themselves. What is it with those cops down in those kinds of countries, you know? Whole bunch of guys running around with little white helmets, and they ain't doing anything. And he went down there, and he flattened George Foreman, and then the only guy that was ever able to fight him was Joe Frazier. Frazier punished Ali, punished him bad. And even Ali said it. He said, man, God bless Joe Frazier. He made me reach down to myself. He used to pound the hell out of Frazier's kisser. You can imagine a guy, Frazier would come in low and lead with his face. Kind of like you, bud.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know how you lead with your face? That's why you're so good looking? And Ali would, like, keep peppering Frazier's face. Well, it had no effect. Frazier didn't mind if you hit him in the face. You see Joe Frazier today? And the amazing thing is that Joe Frazier is out there just, hey, how you doing? I'm Joe Frazier. Yeah, it's a beautiful world, isn't it? And he's fine. And Ali's shuffling around out in a bathrobe someplace. Anyway, Frazier would come in low. He had this little squat body. And Ali would bounce gloves off of Frazier's face. Had no noticeable effect. Frazier'd be spitting blood. His face would be swollen up like a freaking watermelon at the end of the fight. But Ali lost the fight. Because this little, tough, muscular fighter would come in on him and just couldn't knock him down. I mean, you know, Ali did beat him, but Frazier beat Ali. Another guy that hurt Ali was Ken Norton. Broke his jaw down in San Diego. I remember watching that fight, and Ali lost the fight. And I'm thinking, he didn't look like he was hurt. What happened? In the second round, Norton caught him and broke his jaw. And Ali fought the rest of the fight with a busted jaw. And I don't think it was a knockout. It was a TKO or maybe a decision. He was really a hell of a man to look at and watch, and funny as hell and interesting. And people who were younger people really liked him because he was countercultural. But in any event, yeah, the Michael Jordan of his day. Now, do we have an athlete that is comparable today? Probably not. Not yet, anyway. So Muhammad Ali has Parkinson's, which has robbed him, you know, of his ability to. Maria took the kids. She was in Las Vegas years before I knew her, and she had the kids with her. And Muhammad Ali was backstage. She was backstage for some show. I think it was Don Rickles. And Muhammad Ali was back there. And she'll never forget him. She was holding Nicholas, her firstborn, who is now a freshman at SC. And she's holding this baby. And Muhammad Ali walked up and he said, "Let me hold the baby. I want to hold the baby." So she gave him and he held Nicholas in his arms. And I tell Nicholas that. And he goes, "I don't remember that. Is there a reason for that?" "Yeah, I think you're brain damaged. You were 5 months old, dude." "Oh, okay. I would hope that I would remember that moment." "Yeah, well, you know, 5 months old, I don't know if you're going to remember it."
"I would."
"What do you mean you would?"
"Well, it's a great time to be held by Muhammad Ali when you remember it."
"Not when you're 5 months old. 5 months old."
"Why can't you remember?"
"Because your brain's about the size of a freaking walnut. In your case, a grape. You don't remember nothing back then." But he said to her, "Let me hold a child." So that was kind of a beautiful thing. You know, just these little, you know, I got into the boxing thing, and I just spun off, folks. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
No, it's interesting, sort of.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I just, you know, I was reminiscing about so many things. You know, the kids getting bigger. Oh, that's another good point, Harry. You're right. Back then, the fights were 15 rounds. Now they're 12, 13, 15-round fights.
I did some research. I think Peekaboo Street is today's equivalent to Ali, if you think about it.
Who?
Peekaboo Street. Because of all the things she's done.
Who's she?
Oh, my Jesus. You never heard of Peekaboo Street.
Peekaboo who?
Peekaboo Street. She's a skier.
Get out of here with that name, Peekaboo Street.
I swear to God.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Oh, my God. You never heard of Peekaboo Street. She's hotter than hell. She's got a nice butt and everything.
You know what, Dickman? If you keep coming in here and screwing with me, and I'm talking seriously,
I swear to Jesus, there's a woman named Peekaboo Street.
Bull crap.
I swear.
Get out of here, man.
I swear to God.
Yeah, hey, man. Peekaboo Street. She's my, you mean there was? She was a skier? Now she's a nurse, and she works in the ICU unit, so when she answers the phone, she says, "Peekaboo, ICU." Get out of here, Dickman.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Peekaboo Street. Big time. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll come back, read a little bit of email here, including one from a 13-year-old who asks the question, "I'm 13, I dig your show, how come I'm not allowed to listen to it? How come you say kids shouldn't listen to your show?" Well, I'm going to answer that question when I come back from this email from this kid. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm going to get Margaret Gray on the line, who is a journalist and has just returned from a trip down to the Caribbean where she had some cosmetic surgery done. And I'm interested to find out what how it took and how long it took. And I'm not even sure what it was that she had done. I'm tempted to say that it was breast augmentation, but I guess it isn't. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here. I'm actually getting ready to fly out to New York tomorrow, and I've been back for about 3 days.
You were in the Caribbean.
Yes, I was. I was in Venezuela, and I had the surgery. And
now, what was it?
It was buttock augmentation. And
buttock augmentation?
Yes. No, I heard what you said. You thought it was breast. It's interesting. You haven't seen me, and if you have, I guess you don't remember. But I don't need that. I can assure you, I don't need that.
Okay. I mean, I'm just assuming a woman go but you can get breast augmentation here, right?
Yes, but I went to a clinic in Venezuela that is known for its buttock implants.
Now, why would you need to bud shut up? Get out of here.
You know something? I'm not even going to sit still. If the retard's in the room, I'm not...
No, I'm telling him to leave.
Because I can hear him laugh.
No, it's fine. Get out of here, man. Why that kind of surgery?
You know, Phil, I came up in a time when our rear ends were supposed to be tight, trim, small, and it's going the other way now. The Jennifer Lopez look is very much popular. I'm not going to go that way. I think that's... I love Jennifer Lopez, don't get me wrong, but I think her rear end is absolutely atrociously disgusting and toilet sloppy. And I would now...
All right, now let's not talk about her. So you went and you had...
Well, I'm trying to compare the kind of surgery. I had a very nice shape, but I wanted to just tweak it. And I said to Frank, you know what? What are you doing this with? Frank was going in for another emphysema check. So I said, GD it, I'm going to Venezuela. I'm going to have some buttock. I'm sorry, Frank is making noises at me, right? No, go back to sleep, Frank. I'm going to have buttock surgery. And
all right, so you went down there. Tell me... you were upset when you got back.
Well, first I want to tell you what I had. I got the buttock implant. It's a very important aspect to be considered. Not taking properly into account a patient's body guidelines may, you know, be wrong. So I was down there checking out the different buttock implants. And then I came back, went to a kind of a what we call a hen party. It was a wine and cheese party for myself and my girlfriends, but there were husbands there.
Yeah.
And do you know that my rear end looked so good that the other men didn't want to say anything for fear of embarrassing the other women? But you could see them staring. The implants themselves have the semblance, kind of of raw chicken breast.
So, you know, this is really not anything that...
you're a little squeamish, huh?
Well, I don't want to know about buttock implants. So you had this, you get back, and you were offended that the men didn't comment?
Well, I think when it's obvious that I've got a nicer butt than the other women in the room, I think that... And I feel like...
You know, it sounds pretty funny you talking this way.
Well, it's obvious. You know, and all they do, you get out for the surgery, they just pull your cheeks apart.
I don't want to know the specifics.
All right, so anyway, I got back, and it's obvious that my butt, far and away, is better than any woman in the room, and yet not one man had the common courtesy and decency to come up to me and say, your ass, I mean...
All right, watch the language, please.
All right, but your butt looks good.
Would you consider that a decent thing for a man to do?
What?
Walking up to a woman and saying, hey, your butt looks good.
After I got back from Venezuela and spent all of that money, yes. Absolutely. And you knew that they knew that, but they wouldn't say anything because they didn't want to embarrass their flat-butted wives. And I just think, in so many ways, Phil, it's really amazing how chicken men are. It really is.
Well, you know what, Margaret? We come up in a culture where we're told we're slapped down if we say this, we're slapped down if we say that. We gotta be careful. We're rooted in a, there's a whole, you know, people talk about the subculture of African Americans, subculture of women. Nobody gets the subculture of men. We have our own language and we have our own sort of ways of having done things. And when somebody all of a sudden says, stop doing that, it does take time. And then you're saying to us,
yes, I know, it's a mixed message.
Yeah, now you're saying to us, have the common decency to walk up to me and tell me how nice my butt is.
Well, I think it's only fair. I think it would only be a woman likes that.
Well, I'm not going to be the first guy to do it. If you're telling me that it's okay for me to walk up to a woman and say, by the way, nice butt, I ain't going to be the guy to do it.
Boy, you really don't know how to treat a woman, do you, Phil? I know you're married.
What are you talking about?
I went down and had the special chicken breast butt implant. And
I don't care about your buttock implants. I really don't. I just wanted to know what it was that you were upset about. And now you're telling me it's because not one guy had the common decency to walk up to you and say, nice butt.
Oh, that's wrong, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Phil, let me ask you a question. I'm just curious. Have you ever held a bowling ball in your hand?
Yes, of course.
I remember last night when I got home, Frank said... I'm going to pick up this spare. Now, I...
Okay. She had her freaking buttock implant. I'm picking up this spare. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I threw you out of room. I didn't want you giggling.
It was funny.
Yeah, I know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I want to read an email here.
Excuse me, are we done?
Yes, we are done.
Well, I think that's very rude. I really think...
Well, Ms. Gray, we are done.
No, I came on to, you know, why don't you take yourself and your entire family and cook in pit four? You really...
I'm all done with it. I don't want to talk about her butt augmentation.
Well, she's going to be angry.
I don't care if she's angry. It's making me sick listening to it. I went down and I had the chicken... Oh, my God. And then when I got back, no man had the common courtesy to say, hey, nice butt. All right, here's an email I got from... Well, I'll read it to you and you'll know who it's from. Hi, Phil. This is Coulter Herrigs, and I live in South Dakota, which is not as hick as everyone may think, but I will respect their opinion. Well, on with my point, which there really is none, but it sounds good. You have a very nice Beamer. I like the silver. I've listened to your show for 3 years, so that was 3 years of wet sheets from listening to you. My favorite guest is Margaret Gray when she sings. I have an interesting idea for a character, Ralph Robertson. The catch is he can't say his R's. Maybe it's Ralph Robertson. I am deprived from the internet at home, so I don't have a backstage pass. That is why I am being a little cheapo using this address. I think you should have a wall of 13-year-old listeners. Here's my picture if you take my advice. You know, and it's called, this is a 13-year-old and your show kicks butt, parentheses, ASS. Now, I get a lot of email from kids, and they say, I like your show, and I hear you say that we shouldn't listen to your show. See, I got to say that, and I emailed this young person back, and I believe it's the person in the middle. Do you think so? And he's a young guy. So he says, "How come you won't put the wall of 13-year-olds?" Let me tell you how it works. That's all I need, man. All I need is to start encouraging 13-year-old kids to listen to this show, and anybody out there who wants an excuse to get rid of me has got it. Aha! So you are encouraging kids. Well, that's all we needed. Okay. Get them off the air. You know, this program is dangerous not because we do lesbian dial-a-date. That's not even dangerous material. That's de rigueur. This show is dangerous not because we do Whip 'em Out Wednesday or Flash Friday. That stuff's old hat, baby. This show's dangerous because we actually have a character doing comedy who's a former child molester. Okay? Now, and we're making a point with that character, by the way, which, you know, the whole Michael Jackson thing is in the news. And it really bugs a few people. So if I get on here and I start saying, hey, guys, you know, you're 13, I really appreciate it, but you can't, you can't listen to my show, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. But I'm going to say this because I was thinking about this. If you're a mature kid, I don't see anything wrong with it. If you get that this is a show about satire, and this is a show that is features parodies of life and elements and culture, and you get that this is basically a comedy show, and you really appreciate the content of the show, I got no problem with you listening to the show. I guess you got to ask your mom and dad, because I don't think you can take everybody the same way. But I can't put up a wall of 13-year-old listeners, dude. Can't do it, man. First of all, people are going to think I'm running the Mickey Mouse Club here if I do. Here's another picture from Eddie. He's 15, and he lives in Denver. Although I could come out with a hat or something.
I was going to say, you have like a mouse hat.
A mouse hat? What's it going to look like?
Just like a skull cap.
What do you mean a skull cap?
Yeah, it's like you're bald, so people just walk around bald.
Oh, okay. That's great. We'll start coming out with the Phil Henry skull caps.
Yeah. And paint some freckles on top of it, like the way your head looks.
Jesus God. So, yeah, but I would say that it's cool. Now, I had a guy say one time, a father say, I listen with my kids all the time. And, of course, there's the other thing. Herb Sewell, one of our main correspondent from the Michael Jackson trial, that's all I need is him checking out the website for the wall of 13-year-olds. You know, we're trying to keep Herb out of prison. And he's going to call up and say something like, Phil, or whatever that thing is that he does. He'll start giggling away. So thanks very much, man, for your patronage. You're a good dude, and you sound like a smart guy, so go ahead and listen to the show. But if your folks catch you, don't tell them that I said it's okay. Otherwise, phone calls and letters start, and people begin acting all presumptuous and holier-than-thou and self-righteous. Now, dear Phil, usually attempts to add animation or puppets to recordings of comedy have failed miserably. In my very humble and exceedingly modest opinion, I'd rather be caught off guard in a dark Atascadero cell with Herb Sewell and Walter Belhaven than be forced to watch Crank Yankers ever again. By contrast, however, your animated show is really funny. The timing's perfect, the expression on the characters are priceless, and the use of your previous show bits fits perfectly with the newly recorded segments. So why the hell didn't this get on the air? I would have watched every episode and bought the DVDs. Thanks for making this one episode available on the site. Here's to hoping you might consider working on this show once again and rescue some small segment of television from the festering, dung-encrusted garbage heap where it currently resides. By the way, I write for a couple of TV shows. My name's Steve. All right, thanks, Steve. His name is Steve Fish. By the way, I write for Letterman. Now, on to... So... Thank you very much. And when we posted when we put up our animated pilot on the website, people were saying, you know, some liked it, some didn't. One guy wrote a totally opposite of this. He said, this is a great letter. Guy's like, whatever. I mean, if I could put into expression, you know, emotion, what this guy's letter was, the emotion his letter was written in, this is what it'd be like. Where did you ever get the idea that you could put your show into anime? It is even worse than the thing that you did for NBC. So there's all kinds of opinions. But I will tell you this. I think, done the right way, the only way to do this show is with an animated thing. So, only problem is, it ain't going to go on an overnight. And when we did the Fox pilot, and let me just tell you the background story for this, because we're going to put this on a website. We did this pilot for Fox, it was animated. Now we're doing the thing. We're hearing all these people around the Fox lot saying, well, you know, they're going to pick up two animated shows this year. Because what you do is you do a pilot. It's like a test. And you show them the test. And if you pass the test, then they give you a TV show. So your pilot's like a test you take. It's like your paper, your term paper. Here's my term paper, Dr. Belhaven. Why, thank you. And then he sees that it's good, and he gives you a diploma. If it doesn't, you suck. You got to go back. So we did this pilot, and we gave it to the network. Now, we heard they're going to pick up two animated shows, so we thought we were in. Now, the week leading up to going to New York where they announced the shows, everybody was saying how great this Phil Hendry pilot was, how funny it was, and this thing is sure to get on the air, to the point where we were getting calls from agents who were sending scripts to us. They were sending their writers scripts, and they were fully anticipating the show was going to get picked up. When they finally announced the show, they were going to pick up the animated show. It was Seth MacFarlane's American Dad. Now, I don't bear Seth any grudge. He's a very funny guy. Family Guy's great. And I'm sure, I'm convinced that when they, you know, the final decision was, they said, you know what, this guy Seth MacFarlane's been a winner for us. He had Family Guy. How can we turn our nose up at his thing? We got to go with it. And I have no doubt that that was the decision. And it makes sense. My question is this. Has anybody seen this show? I'm not trying to be. Has anyone seen American Dad? Is it even on the air yet? Maybe it's not on the air yet. I heard that it was on after the Super Bowl. But our pilot, if you've seen it, had elements of our show. We had actual phone calls from the show incorporated into it. So it was probably too funny. All right. Thank you very much for your letter, Steve, and good luck in your career now that you're out of television. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
To this little blog that they have on the Fox website, the very first episode of American Dad was after the Super Bowl, and so that wasn't too long ago. And now it ain't on the air, and it says here American Dad is going to return to Fox with new episodes on Sunday, May 1st at 9:30. Now, that ain't a good thing in the world of TV. If you have a couple episodes and then they say, okay, let's start this all over again in a few months, that means somebody somewhere thinks the show blows whole herds of mules. And so they got to kind of redo it. But that don't mean anything good for me because my show sucked too. We all suck. Me and Seth, all of us, we just suck. Only he's making the money. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, thank you. Well, I need that number.